The pitch, swing and a chop. Runners coming home. Bientos drops it. Stott slides home safely, and JT's aboard at first. It's 6-4 Phillies. Big insurance run.
Huge.
See what happens when you put the ball in play? Don't strike out.
Just put the ball in play.
Put the ball in play.
Little League coaches everywhere embrace.
Yes. It's the WFE Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We're Chickies in South Philly. Join us today and every Monday at 6 p.m. for the Brandon Graham Show. Chickies and Pete's, the official sports bar of the Philadelphia Eagles. I did mention Bryce pandering Hall of Fame. We'll be in the regular Hall of Fame, but also the pandering Hall of Fame. He mentioned what he said to the team after the game. Here's what he said.
I mean, I thought both teams, man, punch for punch. I said it to the guys. I said, Rocky would be proud. You know, never die mentality, man. Just a great game. Thought Sevy threw the ball really well, obviously. But, you know, to kind of get a couple runs on and just keep that going. Vientos won the bat well. But, you know, punch for punch, man. Came back, won that game. Big at bat by Starter. Happy birthday to him. And then, obviously, Cassidy coming through. Just huge.
Do we really think he told the guys that Rocky would be proud? Do we think that?
Of course.
Yeah,
just like LeBron read whatever book he read.
Yeah.
Yep.
He's the best, man.
I mean, he never misses.
No, it's like he's got a chart. He's got a thing in his to-do list every day.
Yeah.
It's like wake up, breakfast, workout, pander, you know?
Well, I think he said that, and in my head, he winked at the camera.
Oh,
he's going to get like come
yeah.
on. Well, head nod.
Yeah.
Rocky's not a real guy.
Well, to outsiders, he is.
Yes. He is.
Yeah, really. And there's a statue of him here.
There is a statue.
I know. Again, take it down, but whatever.
Yeah, 215-5.
It's not coming down.
It's not coming down.
It's just like, come on. What are we doing? Let's be a big boy city.
What do you want him to do? Say that Bradley Cooper would have been proud? What do you want him to say?
Whatever.
Yeah. Jim Gardner would be proud.
What if he said that?
Jim Gardner would have been proud.
I would have liked it better if he had said Rock would have been proud.
I like that, too.
Yeah, like his buddies.
Well, I'd have known he was talking about Rocky.
Rocky, yeah.
But calling him Rock would have seemed like he was more like a real person.
Yes.
Like, yeah, Rock would have been proud.
Rocky would have been proud. 215-592-9494. Ken and Cinnaminson, you're on WIP. What's up, Ken?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you today?
Great.
What up, Ken?
You know, Jack, there's a life-size statue of the Fonz in Milwaukee. So, I mean, is that not worse than a statue of Rocky?
Why isn't it in
Boston?
Well,
it's about the same. No, it's in Milwaukee.
I know, but is it Cheers in Boston?
Well, the Fonz was not in Cheers, you idiot!
That's Happy Days.
Just because you're 30 doesn't mean you don't know things
Hold
that
on.
Happened
I
before
know the
you
Fonz.
Were born.
I thought he was like, what's up, guy? Like, what's up? That's not him?
Oh, God.
Are you talking about the Bud Light commercials? What do you mean? No, Fonz is cool. Wore a leather jacket.
Hey,
that's what I meant. That's not Cheers?
No.
Oh.
It's Happy Days. Happy Days was not in a bar.
Donovan Jespot.
Yeah, all right.
Oh, my God.
He's the worst.
Jack, you know, the United States won World War II as well.
Yeah.
So just,
they sure
I'm telling you, you know, some stuff that happened before you. And listen, you can't overestimate how many Mets fans probably were not able to make the trip down from Queens because they're not allowed to leave the borough because of their court-ordered ankle bracelets that require them to stay within 100 feet of their home.
Ah, that's what I like, Ken. I like the Met fan shade. I'll take that.
That could have something to do with it. Well, you called them dollar store fans, so I think they could change that, as a matter of fact.
Yep.
Listen, I feel really confident and I'm not – you know, I'm not wearing rose-colored glasses. I was with everybody else when the sixth inning started last night, like, you know, getting ready to make my plans for how they're going to dismantle this team in the offseason. But first of all, I think that the at-bats from the sixth inning on, it's almost like somebody flipped the switch and they said, hey, you know, if we just wait for strikes that we can hit, we can actually hit. And, you know, this entire Mets pitching staff will walk you if you let them. They all live outside the zone. And I think Edwin Diaz's arm has probably reached its limit of pitches for 2024. That guy looks like, you know, they might as well drag, you know, March Schott out of the grave to go out there and pitch in the eighth inning. I mean, he looks just totally shot.
Well, him going so, to Them going to him that early was a real sign of desperation for a bullpen that is not very good.
That's exactly how I took it. I took it as if Mendoza was actually admitting, these are the last quality pitches we're probably going to get out of this guy until the next round. So we got to see if we can't win this game now. That's really the way I read that. If they put together the kind of at bats in New York that they put together for the last three innings of that game yesterday, and they allow Mets pitchers to walk them, they allow themselves to, you know, put the ball in play. Thank you. Fire the MIT majors. Put the ball in play. Taking Sanchez out when he took Sanchez out, that's the MIT guys with their charts telling them, well, you know, a third time through the order, you don't want him to fix. He was dealing. He was getting better as the game went on. I hope Rob just kind of sends those guys on vacation for the rest of the postseason and manages based upon what he sees happening on the field, what he feels from his team, and what makes the most sense from baseball perspective, not from an algorithm perspective from the MIT math majors that work in that building on Darien Street. But now, I feel really, really confident.
Ken, you're going to think I'm poking at you here, but I'm not, in that we've debated Bohm before. I'm curious what you think of Topper benching Bohm and then his at-bats after he got into the game yesterday.
Well, let's take this in reverse order. He could have sent anybody up there to do what he did. I mean, he comes off the bench and swings at the first pitch he sees. But I think part of that was maybe a little desperation on Bohm's part, too, because nobody's hitting. And when the Phillies get like that, everybody's trying to hit a five-run home run when they walk into the batter's box. I'm not sure his hand is right yet. So, look, the fact of the matter is he just hasn't hit well the last couple weeks of the season. So I thought it was the right move, but he's definitely got to be back at third base tomorrow night, which Topper said he would be. And, you know, a guy like Bohm, his swing is so good. His bat stays in the zone so long. He's so flat to the ball. He's going to hit his way out of it. And you just have to allow him to do that. So,
all right. Thank you for the call, Ken. This hour is brought to you in part by United Tire. Now is the time to make the right choice about who services your car. United Auto Service. Go to unitedtire.com. That's unitedtire.com. Don't drive alone. Drive United. Now we'll get to I feel like people need a little juice after that game, and we'll get to somebody who's going to give you juice. But before that, Ruben Amaro, was this on the morning show today?
Yes. Yep.
Ruben Amaro was on the morning show today and spoke about why he thinks the bullpen guys have struggled. Here's what he said.
These guys are the most affected by those 5 days off because they have complicated deliveries. They have to have pinpoint command. And when they're not in competition, it throws them off. They need regular reps. I do believe in my heart of hearts, the more they pitch, the better they will get. I know they're going to be seen more, but their stuff will be better and their stuff will be sharper. Right now, they're not real sharp with their command. You see Strom not being able to work the inside part of the plate against right-handers, and you see Hoffman not being able to command his slider, which he's done very, very well this season. And that's the reason why these guys are not effective right now. And I do believe as they pitch through this playoffs, I think that they're going to get better and better.
Jack, does this sound like a real thing to you?
Yeah, I felt that in game one. Like, that looked more like rust more than anything. And the one thing Strom's struggling with is that Strom, at his best, can get in on righties. And he just can't get there. That's why you're seeing the ball up a little bit. Now, it worked for Bader. You know, they're able to, because Bader's not a very good hitter, but against Bientos, it did not, you know, go that way. So I think I still trust those guys a lot. Like, I'm not off the Jeff Hoffman, Matt Strom, you know, bandwagon. I think that the more they pitch, the stronger they'll get. So, you know, I liked when Ruben said that this morning because it makes sense.
Yeah, and listen, I think for those that have concerns like myself, you hear that and you say, okay, I hope that's what it is.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you hope that it's just something that they'll knock the rust off. They had a couple games there, and now they'll be ready to go for games 3, 4, and 5.
And I don't think Strom's a lose confidence guy. Like, he seems a little bit nuts, like most lefties are, you know, and especially in pitching. And Hoffman, at least he came in and gotten out there after he came in for Strom. So I just don't think they're mentally weak is more my point.
No, I don't get that from either of them. It does make the next time that Topper would go to Strom so interesting and important because they don't have time for these guys to get right. Like, they have to be right now. Yeah. So if he's going to stick with him, and I would stick with him too, I wouldn't go to Alvarado at this point. I would still stick with Strom. But if he goes with him one more time and he doesn't have it, that could be the series. You know, and that's what makes it's what makes a manager's job so difficult, I think, in that, especially in baseball, you have to be almost predictive as to how you think the guy's going to play at that particular moment. And Strom having two bad outings. I don't think we've seen Strom have two bad outings in a row this season.
He had a tough stretch in the right around the Yankee series. Yankee series allowed the huge home run to Jazz.
Yep.
That tied the ball game up. Both of those they were really good. They both had like weird random spurts. The one thing you can't do with Alvarado though is that you can't put him on ice forever. At the same time, I know like tomorrow they're probably going to be aggressive if they have a lead, but you're most likely going to need Alvarado in Wednesday's game in game 4. So you also can't leave him on ice for too long because then you worry that he's going to have some rust as well.
215-592-9494 Rios in North Philly. Rios, how you feeling, brother?
What's going on, Hard Chargers?
Rios?
Gentlemen, these freaking people are amazing. I knew exactly what Nick was saying. You know what I mean? Look, man, like, that's exactly all I asked for. It's Bloody October. Let's stay at these guys' necks. Because at the end of the day, I think like myself, you piss me off or I get pissed off but at the same time, taking accountability that, yeah, I'm actually, you know, not playing very well or I need to do something, it actually boosts me up. So everybody keeps staying at their necks. Look, Bryce, amazing. Great game. All right, you didn't shave your head bald and get ugly, but this is what I need you to do. You need to have an attitude that's ugly. You sound very, you know, relieved after the game. You know, Rocky this, Rocky that. Look, in the movie, Rocky finished the deal. So at the end of the day, man, you know what Philly resembles is that, like, yo, we're going to keep coming. So all I need you to do is maybe in a press conference or what you got to do is just have a little more a-hole in your talk that you're not satisfied. I don't need you satisfied. You are the freaking man, and you're doing what you got to do for this team. Yesterday, yo, when I called in just before the game, I was pissed. I was just expecting just to snap and talk some stuff. But, you know,
oh, yeah. You should have seen poor Devin. It looked like she had seen a ghost. Yep. With Rios on.
Listen,
there.
The mailman doesn't deliver on Sundays, but Rios does.
Yes, sir. I think mail does deliver on Sundays.
Well, listen, I thought it was an old Karl Malone reference.
Okay.
Sue me.
All right.
Hey, Jack Forrest, he threw the alley-oop. He forced the spirit out of me, so I said, hell with it. What I missed out on, what I supposed to have done, was have everyone participate, but just have Devin maybe, you know, say blood by herself. I just want to hear her character say blood. Because if she say blood and with grit, you know, that might hype everybody else up, the males and everybody. Yeah. Like, no, we can't play no games right now. We got damn Devin Delco, you know what I mean, talking with grit. So, you know what I'm saying? That's what I missed out on.
I don't know if Devin's a grit person.
You know what, Jack? Get Devin on the phone. We got to have her say blood in the next segment.
But like, not blood, like blood. Like the blood.
Yeah.
No, we're gonna get her. If this is how it is, we're gonna get her, man. Look, I just know I came in with it with that. Jack threw the alley-oop. It is what it is. I know it's a baseball series, and I'm like, okay, they're gonna win the first game. I'ma chill, whatever. When it's time to give a speech, shoot. If I gotta do it every freaking time, that's so freaking big. You know what I mean? I don't give a damn. I'm not going to get exhausted. It is what it is. The time is freaking now. We got to win. Look, fans, let's stay on the next. I don't care what people think. Boom, it's all good. Hey, you're getting the alley-oop thrown at you right now, Boom. Get pissed off, because I tell you right now, you hit a home run, you think the fans went hype? They're going to get hyped because of you and get yourself in your game. So go ahead. I need everyone to get pissed off. We're not satisfied. Hey, Spike,
yep.
Jack, remember this. That reporter that asked Kobe that. Kobe had that face. We need these guys like that. Is it finished? No, I don't think so. Stop asking dumb, dumb questions. I need them to be straight a-holes, man. Period. And it starts with you, Bryce. If you ain't going to cut that damn nice ass, all you got to do is spit on their hair and do whatever, then you need to damn be an a-hole at your press conferences and whatever because you're not satisfied. Gentlemen, I love y'all. If y'all need me, keep letting me know.
Back to work. Game day's tomorrow now. We're going to need you tomorrow.
Yeah, we're going to need look, baseball is an everyday situation.
Yeah, we don't get it's not once a week.
Drink your pickle juice, hydrate, all those things.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I'm not going to damn sit on a bench and complain like I got to go take a crap because my stomach's hurting or I'm tired or I'm dehydrated or whatever. You ain't going to get that from me. I've been through worse things. So doing this is what I freaking do. You know what I mean? So this is what got to be done. I do the same thing with my children. They hear it all. So, why not do it? You know what I mean? So, gentlemen, love y'all. I'm excited. I love baseball. Bloody October. Man, let's put blood on the grass. Peace.
Let's put blood on the grass.
Blood on the grass. There it is. Bloody October.
Bloody October. Stottober.
Yep.
Yeah.
A lot of tobers.
Stottober?
I threw that one out there yesterday.
Yeah.
Come on, man. It kind of works. He's got to heat up a little bit more than one triple.
Yeah, I know.
I would love a Stottober.
I hope it's
Stottober.
We're just throwing it out there.
Yeah.
Throwing it out there. Well, Stottober.
Stottober.
Need it.
Okay.
Well,
I would the casting get something?
Castover? Schwartover?
Castover. Does not have the ring to it. That's Stottober.
No,
does.
I know. Stottober.
It's supposed to be. Listen, casting is the hero from yesterday.
No, Bryce is still the hero.
Bryce is still the hero.
He's always the hero.
Over Cast, you're not going to let Casty have his day yesterday?
Casty has his day, has his moment. They don't win that game if Bryce doesn't go yard. It's simple
good
as that.
Point.
Simple as that.
It's a good point.
They don't win the game with either of you. Casty had the walk-off.
I get it, but they were dead. There was no blood. They looked like a lifeless team until Bryce did that thing.
Yeah. A lot of internal bleeding. There was no blood on the grass.
No, I didn't see any on the grass.
A lot of pacing around the stadium.
I'm not entirely comfortable with you taking this away from Casty. He had the game-tying home run and had the game-winning hit.
And he actually had the big hit to set up the Stott hit.
Yeah. And the catch in right field.
Yeah.
Oh, that was nice. We get one of those a year. One of those, one postseason.
And that's how you know they're going to win the ballgame. He did that game one down in Atlanta. Yeah. He did game one of the World Series, and he did it yesterday.
Yep.
Big game, Casty.
Now, I was trying to – Buzz, please answer the phone if it's ringing. I had a special guest lined up that we could accomplish something here. I know – Buzz, please look at the inside line if it's ringing. Well, Chris in Middletown, you're on WIP. What's up, Chris?
Happy Harptober?
Yeah! Now we're getting it. Now we're getting it.
Kind of sounds like Hock-Tua, though. So, you
know. Well, let's not.
Well, she's a Mets fan.
Well, she's in a legal battle, too, now. So.
Of course.
Oh, is she? I didn't know.
Yeah, with the guy who took the video.
Oh, really?
Oh, you knew that was going to happen.
Oh. What? That guy wants a piece?
Of course he does.
Oh, screw that.
Well, there was some creative editing that went on in part there, Spike. So.
All right.
So let's leave that go. Let's let that lie. Guys, first of all, Spike, I appreciate that, you know, you want to pay tribute and respect to Bryce, but we don't need your pandering. You're still not allowed on the float, okay?
Oh, screw you. You're a midday caller. You're a midday caller. You can't just tell me if I could be on the float. You're a midday caller.
Bryce knows where you stand. And listen, I need you to stand there. I need you to hate on Bryce.
No.
Where you need to be, all right? We need you locked in, all right?
You know what? You children need to learn how to grow up and understand there is a difference between hating on somebody and holding them accountable like adults do for other adults.
Disagree. You and the Sixers warm are just not going to be on the float.
Let me ask you, Chris. I'm not going to be on the float. Whose voice was the first one that Bryce heard in the hype video?
That brings me to my major complaint that I have on my call.
Okay.
This is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. And the fact that you didn't have Jackie Baseball and his cohort from High Hopes, Mr. Seltzer, on that video is very, very poor work on their part. Now, on the flip side, we got to give them credit. They did have the best caller on WIP on there, and not only one clip, but twice on his epic ramps. And that would be the greatest midday shower of all time, and that would be Chris Middletown. So,
you made the video?
Yeah, seems like everyone made the video.
Yeah,
Corey Columbus didn't know the score of yesterday, but he's in the video.
I'm gonna have to go back and listen to the video.
And no Ike, which is also disappointing.
Well, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I know. Yes. And listen, I'm not one to make things about me. I was so happy to hear Spike.
Wait a minute. He's not one to make things about him. The text comes through with the video, and Jack goes, "Yeah, I'm not in it."
Yeah. Well, I said no Fritz, no retweet.
Yeah.
Let's point out something very important with the video, and then I want to talk about the Mets real quick here. But the most important thing with that is there was Joe Giglio on there. There was, of course, Spike let it off.
Yep.
But no one from another time slot made that. So, interesting enough.
Nobody from the morning show.
There was Richie was all over the thing.
Was he?
Yeah, believe me. I watched it 4 times. Yeah.
You didn't retweet it, but you watched it.
I eventually put the quote tweet and said, "Oh, I emoji. Good for WIP."
Guys, I wanted to say something real quick and went on a serious note here.
Yeah.
Spike, and I really want to hear your feedback on this when I say my point, and I'll listen to it afterwards.
Okay.
Can you imagine a meltdown up in New York right now? Because I just heard somebody criticizing Thompson for pulling, you know, Sanchez too early and everything. Look at what Carlos Mendoza did. He left Severino in there too long, and he got cooked. Then he put in Butto, and Butto got pulled way too quick. And then he went to Diaz, and Diaz had an up-down inning. And, Jack, we know what happens sometimes with some of these closers and arms out of the bullpen and up-down innings. And then he got shelled. So, like, I wonder what they're saying up in New York right now about their manager.
So, Chris, thank you for the call. I think, and I haven't listened at all, but I think Mets fans up there are in a bit of a
euphoria,
nothing to lose love affair with the team, and they complain, but I just don't think they are. I don't think they look at this series as live or die the same way that we're looking at this series. They did not expect much out of this season. They had a terrible first 2 months, and it does feel like this for them is more the first year of the next five, I think Mets fans are looking at it. So I don't know if they're melting down today. And also, you have to exist to melt down. So, Devin Caney of the WIP Morning Show is on. Devin, are you there?
I'm here. Do you guys have me?
So, Devin, we just had Rios on, who was on, I don't know if you remember from the pregame show, but Rios screaming and asking us, talking about blood, all that sort of stuff. Do you remember that?
I mean, how could I forget? Do I remember?
Devin didn't sleep last night.
So, Devin, we just had Rios on, and he said the one thing that he thought was missing from that call is you very firmly screaming blood when he asks how the grass grows. So I'm asking you, if I ask you how does the grass grow, will you scream back at us blood?
I don't know if anyone listening has heard me attempt an Eagles chant, so I'm not sure this is the best idea, but sure.
Put the big J aside for a second.
We all respect you as a journalist. Yeah,
we know the locker room report, DK, is sweeping the nation. But put it aside.
All right.
Okay. So wait. I'm saying blood.
That's all you're saying?
Yelling blood.
I'm going to ask you what makes the grass grow, and then you're going to respond.
We won't cut this audio in case you're ever
running for president or anything. Don't worry about it. All right. What makes the grass grow?
Blood.
That was the least intimidating blood.
Just give me one more. Put a little oomph into it.
Is it scary? Is it excited? Is it happy? Like, what's the vibe, Rio?
It's almost militaristic.
Okay.
All right. What makes the grass grow?
Blood.
There it is.
That was pretty good.
That was a good one. That was kind of scary. Watch your back around Devin.
Yes. All right, Devin. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Can I just say, when I got a text from Spike asking me to call in, that was like the last thing I expected, but I am happy to provide. I hope Rios is satisfied with that.
Yes. All right. Thank you, Devin. We appreciate it.
Such a good sport.
Yep. Yes. We give her hell all the time.
Yep. The always gritty Devin Caney.
Yep. All right. Coming up next, we're getting T-Mac on the radio and Philly's broadcast because the local TV broadcasts aren't there, so he's part of the WIP team. T-Mac will join us next to talk about the game, talk about what it was like in the stadium, and his turncoat son, who now works for the New York Mets. So that is coming up next. We're at Chickies and Pete's in South Philly, pregame, in-game, or postgame. Chickies and Pete's is your destination for the Eagles and postseason baseball online at chickiesandpetes.com. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
One ball, two strikes to J.D. Martinez. The pitch swung on, lined up the middle, and there is a leaping grab by Stott. Oh, wow, what a play by Bryson Stott. That ball was bound for center field, and Bryson takes a hit away.
Wow. Was a great catch. So W.I. makes up for the fact that two balls like went through his glove the previous game. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. We're at Chickie's in South Philly. Brandon Graham Show will be here at 6 p.m. tonight, as is every Monday, with myself, Brandon Graham, Howard Eskin at Chickie's and Pete's in South Philly. Joining us now, currently part of the radio broadcast team, that is one Tom McCarthy. What's up, T-Mac?
Mike, what's going on, man? How are you guys?
We're great.
T-Mac, what's up, brother?
Today. It must be pretty cool for you to look over at the visiting broadcast booth while you're doing the Phillies broadcast, to see your son over there be part of the Mets one as well.
Well, Spike, you know Patrick as well as anybody. I mean, it's incredible to see him sort of interact with people. And the job that he's doing, I mean, he's doing a great job, obviously, from an interview standpoint, but also from a play-by-play standpoint. But, you know, this game has meant so much to me and my family over the years, that to have him be able to do what he's doing right now is incredible. I mean, it's hard to match it on a lot of levels. You know, I've had a lot of pride watching my one son play minor league baseball for all these years. But to watch Patrick do what he's doing, it's pretty incredible. I mean, it's gratifying, partly because of how I see him act with other people, where I can see a little of, obviously, me, but also my dad in him, which I really like. I like that part of it more than anything else.
Now, did you guys embrace, like, Liam and Nick yesterday when the Phils walked it off or not?
No, but I did give him a beer at the end of the game. I said, here you go, buddy. And a chicken sandwich, because he was starving. So I guess it's the same type of thing. It's just we do it a little differently in the McCarthy house.
You know, for Phils, you know, we all listen to you on TV. Doing radio, I'm curious about your approach to doing baseball on the radio as opposed to baseball on television.
Well, so I'm a radio guy by heart, but I will say that it does take me some time to get used to getting back to doing radio. Like the last couple of games, I found myself in some ways, you know, tongue-tied in certain ways, but also extremely invigorated in other ways, because I know what I am as a person. I've learned to be a TV guy, but in reality, I'm trained as a radio person. And you guys all know this. When I was with the Mets, I never thought I would leave, because I was a radio guy and I was doing 9 innings of Mets radio. And when David Montgomery asked me to come back to do TV, I'm like, I don't want to do TV. And for the first 2 or 3 years, I think I was doing radio on TV, quite frankly. I was talking way too much. And now I think it's the other way around, where I've got to figure out a different tempo, a different, you know, sort of pace. But I like that part of it. Like I told Scott, Kevin, and Larry, I listened to the last 3 innings this morning on Archive. I listened to our last 3 innings, and I listened to the Mets' last 3 innings. And I told them how great it was, how they captured everything. But I did it more because I felt like I need to be up to their level of these games, even though I'm only doing 2 innings. And I like that part of it. I like the fact that I'm still figuring things out at 56 years old, that it's not all cut and dry. I like the fact that I'm learning again all over again.
What's it like for you, or what's it like for an announcer to be in that moment with the game, with the audience, and try to capture that moment and describe it for everybody? When there's radio, obviously we can't see it, so you're like the right. Our eyes for us. But I'm wondering, you know, Bryce hitting that 2-run homer, and then Castellanos hitting that homer. I'm wondering, what's that like for the announcers?
It's unbelievable. Like you're already up at a high with Bryce hitting it, right? And you're trying to let the crowd breathe. But think about it. It was probably 10-12 seconds between the 2 at bats. Because Nick swung at the first pitch.
Yep.
And then you're like, whoa, I got to get back up again. I don't know. It's artistry in some ways. You know, at that point, I was listening to the TV, and I thought Adam Amin actually called them very well. I mean, I guess I was looking at that. Then I went back and listened to Scott and how great he called it. And I went back and listened to the Mets broadcast and listened to how they called it, which was good too. I mean, again, it's sort of painting the picture. It's like an artist painting something. I know it sounds strange, but that's how you try to do it. It doesn't always work out that great. But yeah, I envy all these guys that are doing these postseason games. You know, I wish I was doing more. Grateful for what I'm doing, but man, I'm so juiced that they get a chance to do it, quite frankly.
Tom McCarthy with us. So yesterday's win, I can't tell if it feels more like relief that something is settled or whether we sort of have some sort of momentum now and it's building. What was your sense during the game as to which side of that you would lean toward?
Spike, I actually felt both, quite frankly. I did. I felt relief, but also momentum. Because, you know, I believe that Bryce is one of the greatest athletes we've had because of the moments in this city and how he embraces it. And I think he took whatever the huge helium balloon is, and he popped it. With that home run, and we're all like, all right, we're good. We're good now, guys. Everything's fine. And then when they won, they're like, all right, well, this is going to be over in two more games. You know, something like that. That's the feeling I have right now. I didn't have that feeling after game one and for the first five innings of game two. I sat there thinking, okay, we might be in a little bit of trouble here. I don't have that feeling anymore. And, you know, I think it's both. I really do. I think it's, you know, I think that we've kind of exhaled, and now we have the momentum moving forward.
So Nola goes in game three in enemy territory. Nola can give us great performances, but we all sort of had this thing in the back of our mind that's like, oh, no, like, which Nola are we going to get? What is your outlook on Nola in game three?
Well, unobjectively, I mean, he is one of my favorite people and players. So I always expect greatness from him. And when he doesn't achieve it, I guess that's where I have to sort of reconcile with my own self. So I'm going in expecting greatness. I was talking to him yesterday, and I wish that in everything that I've had in my life where there's been pressure, that I was like him. I mean, Ike, you probably played with guys that all of a sudden, you're like, how do they slow it down like that? That's how he is. He slows it down to a point where, you know, I don't know how people do it, quite frankly. And that's how he was yesterday. So I go in maybe unobjectively thinking greatness from him, and that's how I feel about this game coming up tomorrow night.
Well, the one thing I know with Nola, and we've learned this by watching him his entire career. We've watched him in the postseason. He won't be afraid of tomorrow. He knows what's
won't
at stake.
Afraid.
Yeah, he knows what's at stake. We got a chance to recapture the series and still a game up there. And we have momentum going now. I said this earlier, T-Mac, with the offense. It feels like the offense broke the seal on figuring out how to get back to hitting the ball, making good contact, and playing good baseball. I just felt like they, for a game and nearly a half, we were just lost at the plate as an offense. And I think those last few innings yesterday can really be momentum that we carry for the next three or four games.
I would agree with that, Ike. I think it's a carryover from last year, and I think self-doubt crept in after game one based on what happened with the Diamondbacks last year. And I believe that that home run by Harper, even though they fell behind again because of Nimmo's home run, I believe that that changed things. They're like, okay, we're fine. Like, we're fine. Now, do they have ruts where they go into this where they don't hit? Absolutely they do. Is it exasperating? It is. But I don't think we're at that point right now. I think we're at a different point. I'm with you that they've kind of broken the seal. And it will be better moving forward tomorrow.
T-Mac, were you surprised that Rob Thompson benched Alec Bohm yesterday? I mean, this is something that's been kind of out of his character. Did you like the move by Rob Thompson yesterday to sit down Alec Bohm?
So, Jack, I anticipated something was going to happen just based on our conversations. Part of it, I didn't know if he would do that, but I'm not surprised only because I know how Rob is about certain things, and I think he gives a lot of latitude to guys, and I think he felt like that latitude was that he needed to bring it back. So I guess I was surprised he benched him at that point. I thought he was going to take him out of the game the day before. That was my thought. When he slammed his helmet down, I'm like, he's out of the game. Like, that was my thought. So I think I was surprised he took him out yesterday for the game. But I'm not surprised that there weren't consequences based on what he felt that Gallick was doing at the plate and it, really personality-wise. I don't know if that makes sense or not. But
it does.
I think it does. I find Rob Thompson and his style to be really interesting to examine as the guy who trusts his guys, lets them do their thing, and when he chooses to be the guy who benches somebody or decides to start Chris Sanchez in game two, all those things, I'll never be able to get into his head, but I would love to know what is the breaking point and what are those things and when are the situations when he actually decides to do things like that.
Yeah, he definitely gives more latitude. I will say, Spike, he is, to me, a lot like Joe Torre was with the Yankees. Now, Joe was more of a, probably even more of a player's manager than Rob is. But I do think that that's where a lot of his style comes from. In fact, Joe and I were talking about this yesterday because he was at the game. I think it's a lot like him. You know what I mean? Like they'll give you an inch, they might give you a foot, but man, they won't give you a yard.
Nope.
But you'll be surprised when that yard is pulled back, honestly.
Well, Joe Torre, he batted A-Rod eighth in the 06 ALCS.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm glad he did it from the standpoint of like some kind of consequences for something that he doesn't like rather than just letting it slide. T-Mac, tomorrow, let's say they have a 3-2 lead in the seventh. Nimmo is a key out that you want in that inning. Are you going back to Strom or are you going to Alvarado?
So I don't know why Alvarado was up yesterday and then didn't pitch. I am still going back to Strom because I think he got us here. And I know that there's probably a little leaking going on right now, but I still think that he relies on him. The seventh inning, maybe it's Alvarado, but I think it was the eighth inning. I still think it's Strom. I don't think he's going to deviate from his guys, even though they've been a little, let's say, bruised in these first two games, to say it lightly. I still think he's going to stay loyal to these guys.
Well, T-Mac, we appreciate your time today. And also, you know, I'm glad that Pat is doing so well with the Mets broadcast, but would like to send him home. would like to free up his weekend this coming weekend. Would be nice. I'm sure he could visit the family.
Send him to Cancun.
You know, clean the house, yada, yada, yada.
He's got plenty of breweries to visit with Jack if he has to.
That's right.
I've got plenty of work for him to do down in Ocean City if he's looking for something to do.
Yeah. Stars off season a little early.
Yeah, we wouldn't mind. All right.
He's young. He's got a lot to look forward to.
Yes.
I would like to have a little bit more baseball in my life.
Yeah, tell him to stop being so selfish. So, all right, T-Mac, we appreciate you, man.
Appreciate
you for
it, brother.
So, Aaron Nola did talk about being the third starter rather than the second starter. Here's what he had to say.
Aaron, what was your reaction when Rob told you, hey, you're going to go game three? And, you know, were you surprised at all by that? And, like, kind of maybe do you relish getting the ball here on the road, you know, in front of a pretty hostile fan base?
Yeah, I was fine with it. Yeah, I mean, was super happy for Sanchi to be able to pitch at home. I mean, it's incredible to pitch at home, obviously, and, you know, his first start in postseason, which was awesome. I thought he threw the ball really good. But, yeah, I mean, whatever I can do to try to contribute and try to put the team in the best chance to win in a playoff game, whether it's home or road, I was fine with. This is a pretty cool place to play, pretty cool place to pitch. I pitched here quite a few times, and first time in the postseason. So definitely looking forward to it.
Team guy?
That's the mentality you need.
Aaron Nola, team guy, yep.
Yeah, you need that mentality. Obviously, we're happy, considering what happened with game one, that the decision to go to Sanchez yesterday worked out. Mm-hmm. I thought he had a very good outing yesterday for it to be his first start here at home in the postseason. And now you got the series tied up with your second-best pitcher, who's had ace in his past, on the road. You'd rather have Aaron Nola on the road in a place where he's comfortable pitching, where he has no problem. He's the seasoned vet. Yeah, this is the position you want to be in.
Yep, absolutely. Why don't you tell him what you're going to tell him, Mike?
Oh, man, I'm telling you a little bit about our baseball team. Now, they're chasing a championship ring, and you can make that special someone feel like a world champion every day with a diamond engagement ring from Mark's Jewelers. Now, Mark's is located minutes from everywhere. Has locations in Mount Laurel, New Jersey, and their flagship store is in Montgomeryville, Pennsylvania. Now, see why Mark's will be your first and last stop for engagement rings and with no Philly sales tax. Check them out online at marks-jewelers.com and make sure you tell them Ike Reese sent you.
215-592-9494. Tom in Vancouver, you're on WIP. What's up, Tom?
Hello, gentlemen. How are you doing?
Tom?
I'm not asking that question. That was a joke.
All right. Okay.
Come on, wise guy.
Yeah.
All right. Look, Jack, I got to say, man, you really did a great job last week. You went from being the big coward in the foxhole, hiding behind, as you typically do, Ike. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Spike was
just
even
like the AJ interview.
With his head up, but not you. And you were able to bring it up to game day and being enthusiastic about it and all the rest of it. Of course, game one happened. You know?
Yes.
And it is really tough to come back, I think, and I'm not a host, obviously, but for the post-game show after game one and then the pre-game show and being excited and bringing the energy. And
yeah, they were going to win game two. I felt that as, even when they lost and I know the hopes were down and we had our concerns, I felt like they were going to win game two. I trust this baseball team. Mm.
You know, I felt optimistic once the game started, and I just had a feeling that in probably around six or seven, once we started getting a tired Mets pitcher, that we were going to start seeing some action. And I'm not saying I can predict everything, otherwise I'd be a betting.
Well, it seems like everyone predicted the Harper home run. I mean, Estevez is talking about he predicted it. You know,
everybody
like
did.
Everyone felt it coming. We were all on the same page, Tom.
And I have to say that I heard you on before game one, mind you, not game two. But it was nice to have your voice there. Like I really like it, even though it's baseball. I thought you did a fantastic pregame. I thought.
Well, appreciate it, even though it's baseball.
Even though it's baseball.
Yeah, yeah, you play football.
Well,
yeah,
you know, about sport. You know, yeah, yeah. I know there was an earlier
wait for his Flyers coverage.
How, you know,
that shows real depth.
Yeah, I can't say that I'm quite on board with your earlier caller who was saying that Ike, you're a baseball genius, but you are absolutely fantastic on the radio, and I do love hearing you, regardless of what sport you're talking about. You just have such
appreciate
a wonderful
it,
way of presenting
all
yourself.
Right. What about Spike? Do you like Spike's performance this weekend?
Yeah, but yeah, I was on yesterday. I didn't hear one word out of you.
But I think that you are starting to really come into your own as the host of this show.
AKA, I didn't like you at first, but I like you now.
I get a lot of those. I get a lot of didn't like you at first things.
I'm confident enough. I mean, we don't know what's going to happen, but I'm confident enough about this that I actually have looked into flying into Philadelphia next week if the Phillies can wrap this up, and if the Dodgers happen to be in, then I could potentially make that trip. So we'll see how that goes.
Tom, I've never quite noticed how thick your Canadian accent is. Yeah, there's a lot of oots and abouts there with you.
You're Canadian.
Yeah, well, I just never noticed it before.
Well, usually, I don't know. I guess usually I'm able to channel a bit of the American side of things. But no, it was coming out. It was coming out today.
Yesterday in the pregame show, I made some quips at Canada because Rob Thompson, I thought, finally turned into an American yesterday by benching someone. Did you agree with that assessment?
Showed a little guts.
Showed a little gumption.
Yeah, well, there's one thing that I learned in history class was that in World War One. The Canadians were the most feared soldiers because they did not take any prisoners. There was no Geneva Conventions at the time. and it was terrifying for the Germans having them come. So, and I just like to say, behind those niceties and all the rest of it, you've got a fierce ally in Canada.
Yeah, love you, Tom. Just
thank you for the call, Tom. He didn't like me either. That's all right.
Well, so
growing on him.
The funny part about Tom, so he came for the World Series 2 years ago.
Yeah,
first trip ever to Philadelphia, and he stayed basically at the bottom of an abandoned motel.
Yeah, he was staying in somebody's basement, about to get killed.
Yeah, we weren't sure he was allowed for food or water.
Yep.
It was not a great first experience. He lost his luggage, I believe. Yeah.
Welcome to Philly, Tom.
I basically told him it was equivalent to you've seen the movie Ransom.
Yes.
With Mel Gibson.
Yep.
Yeah.
Give me back my son.
Yeah, he was the kid in the basement.
Yeah.
They kept down there.
It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
And then it was the game he was there for game 5. They lost.
Yeah.
And I think he's expecting me to be like talkative.
Oh, no.
And, like, I walked away. And I felt bad. I did feel bad. I was nice to him the next time I saw him. But like,
Jack, come on, man.
Yeah, you felt bad.
You gotta commiserate with everybody.
Yeah, not bad enough to talk to the poor guy.
No, again,
but you felt bad.
If they lose, I want to be alone.
Yeah. Coming up next, everyone's favorite part of the WIP afternoon shows, the top 5 of 5. Jack, what do we have coming
up? What we have today.
Yeah.
It's Stockwatch.
Stockwatch. Okay.
On WIP personnel after the weekend.
Oh.
Wow. I'm surprised you didn't go Phillies.
Well, we played highlights all show.
Okay.
You know.
Okay.
It's only game 2 of the NLDS. Like,
I was going to crush him because I thought he was going to do a top 5 moments from yesterday, and I was ready to go, Jack, we've been playing those all day.
I know.
But he stepped up with Stockwatch.
Okay.
All right. So that is next on the WIP afternoon show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.